It is Friday, April 26, 2013. And from the Carver Center for Public Radio, this is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda. Theater Squared concludes its seventh season with Next to Normal, with performances now through May 12th at Walton Arts Center's Nadine Baum Studio. This emotional musical focuses on a family trying to take care of each other. Tickets and more information for Next to Normal available at theater2.org or 443-5600.
Ahead on this end-of-the-week edition of Ozarks, taking back tons of unneeded or expired prescription drugs. Tomorrow, Arkansans are encouraged to properly and legally dispose of the unwanted medicine in their homes, plus a trip through Oak Cemetery in Fort Smith, and the band Cirque du Soleil steps into the Furman Garner Performance Studio.
First, Regnat Populists and Arkansans for Compassionate Care, two groups who have attempted to use a signature gathering process to introduce constitutional amendments on the general election ballot, plan to challenge a new law they say puts restrictions on that process. David Couch, an attorney for the two groups, says he plans to file a lawsuit next week in federal court challenging Act 1413. He says the act violates both the Arkansas Constitution and U.S. Constitution because it puts barriers in front of groups who use paid canvassers to advance ballot initiatives in Arkansas.
There are very few organizations that have a volunteer network great enough to actually collect signatures on a volunteer basis for either initiated or a referendum. The vast majority of the people who want to do an initiated amendment or initiated act are required to hire paid canvassers.
Supporters of the act, which passed overwhelmingly in both chambers of the state legislature, maintain that paid canvassers are provided incentives to collect invalid or false signatures. Couch says he expects other groups who have used the petition gathering process to join in the lawsuit.
Recent academic testing shows English as second language students are performing at equal levels to native English speakers in the Springdale School District. The majority of the students are American-born, but spoke only Spanish until starting kindergarten. Mary Bridgeforth, the ESL coordinator in Springdale, says this is the first time in 5 years that such students are performing at the same level as English-speaking students, despite in-classroom challenges.
Our teachers have students from all different backgrounds, all different proficiency levels. We have special education students. We have gifted and talented students, and they're all in mainstream courses together. So it's important for our teachers to have strategies in place so that they're able to work with small groups of students to help build skills that may be missing.
Bridgeforth says the Springdale District has worked hard to provide specialized English learning initiatives to students, including after-school programs.
In other school news, U.S. News and World Reports earlier this week released its list of the best high schools in the nation. The publication reviewed more than 21,000 high schools across the nation, and 79 schools from Arkansas made the national rankings. While none of the schools ranked in the top 100 nationally, the top high schools in Arkansas are in the northwest portion of the state. Those top schools include Haas Hall Academy in Fayetteville, Bentonville High School, and Rogers Heritage High School. Michael Poor is the superintendent of Bentonville Public Schools. He says the ranking reflects well not only on the Bentonville School District, but also on education in this corner of the state.
We were the largest recognized public school and ended up finishing second. And when you look at that and having us have 3,800 kids, we're really proud of what that means for our whole K-12 system. I'll also note that two of the Rogers schools came in the top 10 in that U.S. World of News report, and I think that speaks very well of our region in terms of the academic performance, the excellence of our teaching staffs and administrators. We're really blessed to live in Northwest Arkansas.
Poor says Bentonville's high relative ranking to other schools in the state can be credited to new initiatives in the high school.
I want to give credit to our principal, Ms. Kim Garrett, who had the guts to say that we're going to test every single junior on the ACT. A lot of people would have been worried to say, wow, that's going to make our scores drop. In our world, we said, let's make sure that every kid understands that this is a possibility, that post-secondary is something that could be done. We paid for that as a school district. And when you think about that assessment or test at a national level, it's another quality indicator for us to look at and try to improve on. But it also sends a clear message of expectations that are high within our school district.
Additionally, POR credited new progress assessment tools used district-wide, as well as implementation of new Common Core standards at all grade levels, as reasons he sees that Bentonville High School was ranked second best in the state.
The Joe Martin stage race is in Fayetteville and the surrounding area this weekend. Races began yesterday with uphill time trials at Devil's Den State Park on Highway 170. Drivers, take note, because cyclists will be present on area roads for the next few days, including Highway 62, 54, 59, and 71. Tomorrow, races continue at Devil's Den, but also happening tomorrow, the road race beginning and ending at the intersection of Razorback Road and 15th Street in Fayetteville. And on Sunday, several races, including the Criterium, will be held throughout downtown Fayetteville.
The Faye Jones School of Architecture at the University of Arkansas has selected an interim dean to serve as the department's head after current dean Jeff Shannon steps down next month to return to teaching full-time. Associate Dean Ethel Goodstein Murphy will take the helm while a national search for a new dean is conducted. Goodstein Murphy has been a member of the faculty since 1992 and has served as associate dean since 2009. Mark Boyer, head of landscape architecture in the department, has been selected to serve as interim associate dean in the meantime.
Last night, the Northwest Arkansas Naturals defeated the Springfield Cardinals 6-2. That means they split the four-game road series. The Nats continue play on the road tonight. They'll open up a four-game set against the Tulsa Drillers.
Yesterday's low of 27 degrees in Fayetteville broke the day's record low recorded at Drake Field. The previous record for April 25th was set in 1976 with a low of 33 degrees. In Fort Smith, the low of 37 degrees approached but didn't break the record low of 35 degrees set in 1910. Still yet, lows were considerably cooler than they were a year ago when low temperatures averaged in the low 60s. Tonight's forecast calls for a 90% chance of precipitation with lows from 50 in northwest Arkansas to 55 in the River Valley. Tomorrow, there's a 20% chance of showers with highs from 66 in northwest Arkansas to 71 in the Arkansas River Valley. And tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with lows from 44 in northwest Arkansas to 51 in the Arkansas River Valley.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me on the phone is Michael Tilley, who is the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com that covers politics, business, culture, and more for the listening area. How are you on this stormy Friday?
Well, it is stormy, and I'm watching a storm roll into the area as we speak. So just, I guess, you know, any more in Arkansas, in your vehicle, you should have an ice pick and an umbrella and a wind poncho, just be prepared for anything on any given day.
That's pretty good advice, actually. let's talk about a tax report that came out, I believe, last night, the Fort Smith tax revenue report for March. It's actually some good news for the city.
Yes, thankfully. 8% increase, a little over 8% increase on the city 1 cent, both of the city 1 cent sales tax and on the countywide, the city's collection of the countywide tax. Yes, we had four consecutive months of declines, and they were steep declines, and such that city administrators asked all the department heads for a 4% across the board cuts. You know, find 4% you can cut in your department, and I think they're still going to go forward on that just out of caution. But I think what we're seeing also, Kyle, and we're seeing this in other numbers. You know, there was some disruption this year in terms of income tax filings and income tax refunds. And I think we're going to see those scattered, because if you look back at some of the Fort Smith numbers, often we would see in the January and February reports some increases. And a lot of that would be tied to people getting the refund back and going out and buying that television or whatever. But we haven't seen that so much in January. But maybe we saw that 8% increase, which is an unusual increase in Fort Smith. Maybe that was part of that. But it is welcome news. Maybe if they can string a few more months of that together, it could take some pressure off the budget.
Well, speaking of upward trends in returns, the Northwest Arkansas hospitality numbers continue to perhaps not boggle the mind, but certainly impress.
Well, it is impressive, and it's impressive across the board. You know, this may be a little unfair to the folks in Bentonville, but it's almost, we're not impressed anymore when Bentonville continues to have big numbers with the growth in their tourism in that area, but they continue to lead. But we're also seeing good numbers in Springdale and Rogers and Fayetteville. It just speaks to the overall strength of that market. Of course, in the Northwest Arkansas, probably more of that is business travel than tourism travel. But nevertheless, I mean, the Met Travel Research shows increase in the number of room nights that are occupied. Now, the room rate's gone up, but overall, you know, that business and tourism travel in Northwest Arkansas, that is a healthy segment of the economy. Whatever they're doing up there, they just need to keep doing more of it.
Well, part of it is called Norman Rockwell, I think.
Right. Well, yeah, Crystal Bridges.
Right.
and also, a small part of it, look at the crowds that you've had at some of the local, at the Razorback and home games there.
Well,
huge crowds, and that's got to play into it somewhat.
Yes, Jeff Long, who's the athletic director, of course, for the University of Arkansas, tweeted out last weekend after the red-white football game, a Razorback softball game, and a Razorback baseball game all on one Saturday. I think the total attendance of the three events was something like 60,000. Or
yeah.
No, even more than that. Now some of those people double-dipped and went to more than one event, but still that has to reflect in restaurant and hotel returns as well.
Absolutely. I mean, any community would love to have 60,000 people pop in and out, even if they're local folks. I mean, local folks, you could have somebody live right across the road from the stadium. You get that many people together, and they're more inclined to hit the restaurants and bars and that type of thing. So, yeah, that absolutely does not hurt.
One of the most intriguing canvases in the entire region is downtown Fort Smith at the West End. Seems to be all sorts of potential, of course, all kinds of history. This week, a plan for what the West End might look like in the future.
Yes, Richard Griffin and his son Rick Griffin, Griffin Properties, who have, they're one of the few developers who've put their money where their mouth is, so to speak, in terms of having an interest in renovating and rejuvenating downtown Fort Smith. But they're taking several blocks, converting the old buildings, retaining the facade, and trying to return it to some of the historic look, creating retail fronts, apartments, more of that urban living type space in downtown Fort Smith. You know, it's a little over, not counting the cost of the land, of course, but the project is it's probably going to be closer to $4 million, but another good investment in downtown Fort Smith. You remember the Griffin folks, they're the ones who put that Garrison Point Cafe. It's kind of a convenience store, small grocery store, restaurant. Because up until then, there was nothing like that. There was nothing nice that you could just go and get, you know, a quick coffee or a sandwich or something in downtown Fort Smith. I mean, there are restaurants down there, but just for the drop-in, drop-out, the quick convenience, there was nothing there. So they've been very influential. And, of course, just last night, the Fort Smith Convention and Visitors Bureau, they had their Grit Awards. They
right.
They named the Griffin family as the I forget right now, I've just gone blank on the title, but they recognized their support of downtown Fort Smith.
And now, speaking of the future, the Aquatics Park is still in the future. In fact, it's very much in the future.
Well, yeah, this seems like just about the time we've got this thing figured out, we don't have it figured out. You know, it was the funding for a long time was, you know, is it going to get funded? Is it going to get funded to the level necessary to build it out fully? We still don't know that. Excuse me, we finally got the county on board. Now the city and county saying, well, it's not going to be Memorial Day 2014. It's going to be Memorial Day 2015. So it's a full year, and they blame it on the cycle. I mean, obviously, a water park, you can't open it in the winter.
No.
But so just another, you know, if they'd have had their ducks in a row on the funding, like they kind of thought we thought they did when they were supposed to, they could already be moving forward on design and construction and getting this thing open in 2014. But nope, you just couldn't pull it off.
Are you how confident are you that we'll see it in 2015?
Kyle, I have no confidence.
Okay.
I mean it's, and I don't mean, and I'm not trying to be cynical or mean spirited. It's just anything can happen with this project, and then almost everything has happened with this project. I just soon try to bet on who's going to be the next Super Bowl champion than try to bet on when this thing's going to happen.
Okay, I'm going to give you some help. It's not going to be the Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay.
Michael Tilley is the editor, publisher of the City Wire that covers business, politics, culture, and more. Please drive safely. Talk to you next Friday.
All right. Thanks, Kyle.
Hello, I'm Robert Ginsberg, your host for Shades of Jazz every Friday and Saturday night beginning at 10 p.m. On this Friday edition of Shades of Jazz, I will feature some new music from some great jazz female vocalists, Nancy Harms, Gia Noce. We'll also hear from Havana Carbo, plus some great jazz instrumentalists like Charles Lloyd and Chick Corea, and some Benny Green. That's Shades of Jazz, Friday night at 10 p.m.
This is Ozarks at Large. Tomorrow, law enforcement agencies all over Arkansas will be accepting prescription drugs that have expired or are no longer needed. Prescription Drug Takeback Day has been an annual event for a few years now. Arkansas has one of the highest rates of pain reliever abuse among people between the ages of 12 and 25. Fran Fleener is Arkansas's drug director. She says the project began in 2010 as partly a way to raise awareness that keeping prescription medicine around the home could be courting problems.
Our surveys report to us through our surveys, people report to us through our surveys, that they get the pills that they choose to abuse from friends, family, and people that they know out of their own family's medicine cabinet. About 42% of the kids that abuse, now that's not all kids, but of the kids that do abuse, about 42% report them. They get them directly out of their own home.
The annual Drug Take Back Day provides easy access for the legal destruction of prescription drugs. Fran Fleener says pharmacists and doctors cannot accept the expired drugs. Only law enforcement agencies can. This year, the effort to encourage Arkansans to legally dispose of their prescription medicine is extending to a year-round campaign. Rotary clubs across the state have provided funding to help establish permanent drop-off spots. Chatty Platt is the incoming president of the Downtown Fayetteville Rotary Club.
But one of the main things, you know, people say, well, why don't I just throw it away? And that is because it might end up in our water system, which is not what we want. So, and other people thought, well, I'll just flush it down the toilet. Don't do that. Don't throw it away. They have special ways of disposing of these in big barrels.
Some of the permanent locations, there are about 50 statewide, are inside police or sheriff's departments, but some are outside and available at any time of day.
It's just like putting your mail in a mailbox. They've got these big lock boxes there that are safe. Say you go down to the Washington County Sheriff's Office on South 71, and you'll see a box there with the Rotary logo on it, and, you know, it says drug take back lock box, and you just put them in there, and then you'll know that they're safe.
Fran Fleener, the state's drug director, says Rotary clubs in Arkansas became involved out of a family tragedy.
There was one particular Rotarian who lost his son to prescription drug abuse, a son that was an Eagle Scout, that was a brilliant young man. He was on his way to Columbia University, and he made some bad choices, starting with marijuana, and then progressively got worse and worse until he was taking pills. And so one night at a friend's house, he combined methadone and Xanax and just never woke up. And so his father began saying, I want to make a difference. I don't want anybody else to go through this.
The medicine dropped off will be destroyed in a hazmat-certified facility and can be dropped off with or without labels and can be given anonymously. Fleener says the previous five prescription drug take-back days have been responsible for a staggering amount of collected drugs.
We have taken back almost 24 tons of pills already. That's the equivalent of about the weight of four school buses.
You can find out more about the one-day locations tomorrow for drug drop-offs or the nearly 50 permanent drop-off locations at the website artakeback.org. That's artakeback.org.
Yesterday, Ozarks at Large's Christina Thomas took us on a tour of the homeless agencies in downtown Fort Smith, and today she takes us on another tour, this one of Oak Cemetery, the resting place of Fort Smith history.
We're at the top of the hill at the pavilion. That's where we do our gravesides are done here, but we'll also stage the Tales of the Crypt here.
Tales of the Crypt is an event taking place this Sunday afternoon at Oak Cemetery. The 150-year-old graveyard is the final resting place for many prominent and not-so-prominent people in Fort Smith.
A lot of people with quite a history for the city as well as for our region, and then just a lot of business people and just ordinary folks, so with an interesting story.
This provides a time for residents to learn about them. The Oak Cemetery Commission chooses about 10 people buried here to highlight each year. This year is their 15th Living History performance. Alsop will serve as a tour guide of sorts.
So if you come out Sunday afternoon, you'll find me at the top of the hill. Everyone will come here. We'll have Herschel Parker here playing the guitar and singing. There's a man coming from Van Buren that will be able to demonstrate how you properly clean a monument. And then at 3 o'clock, or actually about 10 till 3, I'll start dividing the people that are here into groups. We do a shotgun start.
From here, there's a loop that circles around this area of the cemetery. Groups will leave at staggered times and visit different reenactors that are scattered around the route. The Oak Cemetery Commission researches the people buried here and writes scripts for the portrayals. Some will be next to their graves, but as the cemetery is rather large, not all will be. Alsop takes me on a small tour.
This monument over here we're coming close to with the soldier and the two women is the Reynolds Monument. And it's pretty well known. That was, I believe, a Confederate soldier that was wounded and later died. But some of the ladies helped him to their makeshift hospital, I believe, is the story with him.
Reynolds will not be portrayed this year, but his monument is rather noticeable. Someone you can expect to see is Dr. Rex Russell.
He was the first surgeon in Arkansas to do an angioplasty and put in stents. So he did some other surgeries, and he was the first person to do some of those procedures. He played football for Oklahoma State University and had quite an interesting past.
Not only will there be a doctor portrayed, but also a pharmacist.
The owner of Gott Brothers Drugstore, one of the stories I've heard about them is a circus was going through town and he mixed up a prescription for an elephant. So that had to be sort of unique. You don't just mix up a prescription for an elephant every day.
Many people enjoy not just the history that can be found in a cemetery, but also the art in the monuments. Alsop is no different.
We're at the Angel. We had her, she was worked on a few years ago, got her cleaned up. She had a lot of
monument maintenance is important business, and remember, there will be a demonstration at this event.
She was cleaned, and anything that was not correct, we had fixed on her, but she's quite a beautiful statue that we have here. I believe this is the Rogers family right here that Rogers Avenue would be named for. Yeah, founder of the town.
And if Carol Ann Cross Park sounds familiar, Carol Ann is buried here, as well as the Sparks of Sparks Hospital. There were also many sheriffs and deputy marshals and outlaws buried here.
With being here at the Gateway of the West, where Judge Parker's fort, or Judge Parker's courthouse, then yes, we had lots of outlaws, and many of the outlaws are buried in blocks 11 and 13 in the pauper section. So. Had a lot of people who couldn't afford, you know, the families couldn't afford to bury them, or if they were a bad enough outlaw, their family might not have had anything to do with them. We have two entire blocks that are filled with the older pauper section.
Visitors on Sunday can expect to meet Bert Stewart, a local barber, whose daughter is still alive and over 100 years old. She worked for her father at his barber shop. You'll also meet Christopher Cook, a Confederate soldier, and Caspar Rutzel, a German immigrant and businessman, among others. Tours begin at 3 and 4 o'clock. This event is free and open to the public and will be held rain or shine, though the forecast calls for sunny skies. Parking is available at Ballman School, Creekmore Park, and along 31st Street, with shuttle buses running. For more information, fortsmithparks.com. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Christina Thomas.
It is Friday, April 26, 2013. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm H. Negreta.
We are pleased to have Becca Martin-Brown, features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers, back with us. Welcome back.
Thank you. You know how much I love news of the weird, right?
Of course.
Yes.
Well, so that's our theme for this week, news of the weird. The first thing that's weird is a convention going on in Springdale this weekend. It's called Pulp Arc.
Pulp Arc.
That's P-U-L-P-A-R-K.
Uh-huh.
It's a convention of readers, writers, gamers, artists, publishers, and game makers, all of which are involved in the pulp genre of books, comic books, music, gaming.
Okay.
I don't know what pulp genre is.
Well, I'm going to tell you.
Oh, okay, good.
Tommy Hancock is one of the convention coordinators. He's from Batesville. And he says the term pulp fiction comes from a time primarily in the 30s and 40s when magazines printed serialized dramas like Doc Savage and The Shadow on very cheap pulp paper.
And often also Private Eye sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Dime novels.
Sure.
You know.
So it turns out that technology has made it really easy to print comic books and books and so forth. But there's also this whole pulp movement. And the convention is going to have all sorts of things. Two authors, novelist Paul Bishop and Martin Powell, who has written for Marvel Comics and DC Comics and so forth. A metal concert, a costume contest, a trivia challenge, a performance by the Magic Cabaret featuring Big Daddy Cool and the Swing Kittens. And two new games. One is about a superhero. It's a tabletop role-playing game. It's called Yesteryear. And another is called Debate of the Dead, which, as you might guess, is about the zombie apocalypse.
I see.
They're also going to ghost hunt. I'm so excited. The convention starts tonight and continues through Sunday afternoon at the Convention Center in Springdale. Admission for one day is $10 or $20 for the whole weekend.
So you don't have to have pre-registered.
No. And okay. You can find out more at prose, P-R-O-S-E, -press.com. Well, Slow Art Day isn't really weird.
No.
Well, maybe. It's a national effort to get art viewers to spend more than 17 seconds looking at a piece of art.
Stand in front of a painting, a work of art, and really look at it.
I like that. I did that once with the Thomas Cole Course of Empire.
Yeah.
Course of Empire. Yes, I did that once. And it was great to be able to just sit there. I went on a random day where there weren't a lot of people, so you were able to just sit for a really long time and really think about it. And
it's
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, something fun I learned when I was traveling and had a lot of time to spend in an art museum.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really fun.
It's really cool.
So Crystal Bridges is hosting their version of this National Slow Art Day from 1 to 5 on Saturday. And they're going to have music accompanying one painting and a facilitated discussion accompanying another one and a reading of works from the likes of Ralph Waldo Emerson and Thoreau at a different one. And there's going to be food at 11, and it's free.
Now, the painting at Crystal Bridges that I'm most likely to do that with, War News from Mexico.
Oh,
which
right.
is my favorite, oddly enough.
But it's not there right now. It's in the Louvre.
Aww.
It's on loan.
Well, let's go see it.
Okay. Yeah, it's a deal.
All right.
And we'll spend plenty of time.
Standing in front
yes.
of it once we get to Paris.
Yes.
Okay. Another thing that might be considered weird is a musical based on the music of Green Day.
But it's going to be at Walton Arts Center.
I'm excited about this.
It's called American Idiot. Four shows this weekend. So it's today, tomorrow, and Sunday only. It's about three friends stuck in a small town. Two of them go to New York. One of them gets his girlfriend pregnant. This is how their lives change. Showtimes are 8 o'clock tonight, 2 and 8 Saturday and 2 Sunday, and tickets start at $53. And finally, an event called Singing for Space.
Yes.
Which might be a weird name. But it's a really cool cause. It's food, music, fun, all raising money to spay pets for low-income owners and to try to stop pet overpopulation,
which is
kind of
problem.
At the source.
Yeah.
It happens from 5:30 to 9 on Saturday at Dog Party USA in Taneytown, and your puppy's welcome if he's a good dog. And admission is $25. You can find out more about that at 756-1100.
All right.
Thank you, Becca. Becca Martin-Brown is features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers. Sunday night, George's Majestic Lounge in Fayetteville will host a benefit for Guatemala concert. Cirque du Soleil is a local band performing at the fundraiser. Earlier this week, Philip Shepard, Cody Nielsen, Scott Love, Nate Korth, and Jared Thompson stopped by the Furman Garner Performance Studio. During our conversation, Cody explained the band was formed in 2009 to play in a school talent show.
We ended up playing more than school talent shows.
Yeah, and the guys were like, how old were you guys? Like 14 and 15?
It was, yeah.
You were 15.
Yeah, and well, then you weren't here. So after a while playing music together, the lead singer that they started with decided he was going to do his own little thing, and so they had auditions, and then I tried out, and they loved my face.
Thank God he did, because I don't know what he would have done.
Exactly. That's true. And then the rest is just history. We just kept writing music, and we put out an album last summer of all of our material up to that point, and now we've been writing music, even more music, and we're planning to release another album just as soon as we get around to it.
As soon as we possibly can.
So you mentioned working on a new album. What can you tell me about that? How much work have you guys put into that?
Not enough.
Not enough.
Well, I mean, I guess the writing process for it is pretty much done. We're looking for a producer and looking to get some cash to actually go through with the recording process of it as of now.
Yeah, and originally we, over the past couple of years, we've won all these band battles, mm-hmm. and the prize for those band battles has been free recording time. And so we originally thought we were just going to get like a whole album full of like free, or
we were close. We were close on that.
We were close.
Free album.
But anyway, we're looking at all of our options and trying to figure out what we're going to do.
And how have you guys been doing in the local music scene? You've been around a couple of years now, so.
Yeah, well, surprisingly well, we got into the bar scene really quick, and
that's always a challenge.
Well, yeah, just because of how young we were.
Yeah, we weren't even 18 yet.
Yeah, I think like most of the guys were like 16 when we started playing bars, and people loved us because they were like, whoa, these kids are up there doing what 40-year-old people do.
Young whippersnappers.
I don't know, whatever. and they liked it a lot. People like us a lot. They still like us a lot. We just need to play with some more shows, guys.
So one of the reasons you guys are here today is because you are playing at a benefit at George's on Sunday.
Very much so. George's Majestic Lounge on Sunday, April 28th. We're playing with a few other local artists to benefit this town in Guatemala. I think it was Papulo, Guatemala. I wish I could remember the name.
Sure.
But our friends Nancy and Jeannie, they have been actually, their whole lives been trying to get funds together to help the schools there, to help just get basic supplies like pencils, paper, mm-hmm. For all the schools there, because lots and lots of underprivileged children there. And they really hate it because they're actually related to a lot of them, I think. And so
they're from there?
Yes, yes.
Or at least their family is.
Yeah. And their parents have been going down there all the time and doing what they can. And they actually, in local businesses, they have a little an earth-shaped donation jars in local businesses. So if you've seen those around, definitely help support. And then, so this benefit is going to help, children in Guatemala. And help them learn things.
And the cover is $5?
Yes, the cover's $5. That's like a minimum thing. So if you'd like to donate any more, mm-hmm. That would be very much appreciated.
And what other bands are playing?
We've got the Mountain Doobies, which those are
good friends of ours.
Yeah, Solomon and Harrison. And then
Joey. And Joey.
Oh, Joey's
Largent.
Their drummer now,
thank
right?
Thank you.
All right. And who else? I think Foley's Van.
They are phenomenal. They're
a folk band, right?
I got the opportunity to judge a Battle of the Bands competition at the Dixon Street Theater, which we won last year, mm-hmm. and Foley's Van played, and they blew my mind. Like, they won. They were great. So come for them, not us. They're fantastic.
Okay. So good music all around.
Very much so. And then Revolution Butterfly will be headlining there. Those guys.
Awesome. And music starts around 8?
Music starts around 8.
Okay.
Yes. For Axe George's on Sunday the 28th.
Well, you brought some instruments, and I know you're going to play some songs for me. So can you tell me a little bit about what you're going to play?
Well, the first one we're going to do is called Blame, which is the second song off our album, and we'll play the Circus Life, which we're really excited to record that one because I've got a piano part for it.
Okay.
That is a song that was deeply inspired by the local band Randall Shreve and the Sideshow, but actually it was a song that the guys had composed
well before
I was even
before
in the
we
band.
Had actually listened to Randall Shreve and the Sideshow.
Yeah, so that was pretty cool. And then I heard them play it when I joined the band, and I was like, guys, we've got to do something awesome with this, and we did, and we
revamped it.
We revamped it indeed.
So why so much love for Randall Shreve?
Because he's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, that's like
that
an understatement.
Question?
If you've ever seen Randall Shreve and the Sideshow play live in Fayetteville or anywhere, they've been touring like crazy these past couple of years. But if you've ever seen them play, you would know why. They're awesome. Go see Randall Shreve and the Sideshow.
They also took us under their wing when we first started out playing.
Yeah,
definitely.
They helped us get a lot of shows
at Rogue
and got us exposure. Which was very nice.
Is it helpful to kind of have a mentor in the getting into the local scene?
Yes.
Very much so.
Very much.
Especially when they're a respected musician.
Definitely.
Like Randall Shreve is.
Yes.
He's awesome.
And the Sideshow equally as awesome.
Oh, that's right. Sorry. Sorry, Jeff.
So should we hear some music from your acoustic set?
Very much so.
Okay.
This is called Blame by Cirque du Soleil. This song is called Circus Life by Cirque du Soleil.
Amazed on this stage, your eyes will gaze, shine the spotlight.
Philip Shepard, Cody Nielsen, Scott Love, Nate Korth, and Jared Thompson are the five members of Cirque du Soleil. They visited the Furman Garner Performance Studio earlier this week, and although they are not an acoustic band, they arranged an acoustic performance, especially for their visit. They performed Blame from the band's self-titled album, and Circus Life, a song they intend to record for their next album. Cirque du Soleil will perform during a Benefit for Guatemala concert Sunday night at George's Majestic Lounge in Fayetteville. Admission is $5. Donations are welcome, and the music will start around 8 o'clock. More information about the band is available at facebook.com/Cirque du Soleil.
And Ozarks at Large is underwritten in part by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation. KUAF is supported by the Center for Arkansas and Regional Studies at the University of Arkansas in Fayetteville, dedicated to the celebration and documentation of this region's history and culture.
Couple of announcements this week, one to get to before the weekend. The Center for Art and Education in Van Buren is hosting a one-time matinee showing of Snoopy the Musical on Saturday, June 8th at 1 o'clock. It will be presented by a group of local students who have been chosen from more than 3,000 applicants to attend the Fringe Festival in Edinburgh, Scotland.
Very jealous about that.
Admission to the show is only $5 a person, and only 50 tickets are available. So you can call them at 479-474-7767 or email Owen at art-ed.org to reserve your tickets.
Big news for the athletic department at the University of Arkansas. Nathaniel Franks, who is a member of the University of Arkansas men's track and field team. They're currently ranked third in the country. This week, he was named the winner of the 9th annual Coach Wooden Citizenship Cup.
Huh.
It's named for John Wooden, who won all those basketball titles.
Is he the one
UCLA.
With the pyramid?
Is he the... Yes.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely. Nathaniel Franks is a redshirt sophomore for the Razorbacks track team. He was one of five finalists for the cup, then was awarded earlier this week. He boy, we hope to have him on Ozarks at Large next week because the things he's done, including 2.5 years to get a major and then a minor in history.
A lot of things.
3.96 grade
Very
point.
Very accomplished.
Yes.
I think is what the word we're the words we're looking for.
Intellectually. So hopefully. By the way, he was the amateur winner this year, the professional winner, Jack Nicklaus, the all-time golf great.
Okay.
So there you go.
More U of A sports news. The U of A softball team moved into the top 25 of the ESPN USA softball poll this week. The number 25 Razorbacks are the first team in the program history to garner a top 25 ranking. Arkansas has defeated 8 ranked teams this season to boost themselves into the top 25.
Very good. Congratulations. Mm-hmm.
On this week's Generic Blues Show, you know, there's a lot of good blues music getting released right now. Some of the best we have, Beth Hart, Clay Swofford, The Hound Kings, James Cotton, Mighty Mike Shermer. That's every Friday night, the Generic Blues Show on KUAF. We'll see you then.
And this is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
I'm Kyle Kellums.
So yesterday I took a field trip.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. What did you find?
I found the Wienermobile.
The Oscar Mayer Wienermobile?
I did. I did. And I guess I've never been to it.
It's one of those things you'd remember.
I feel like. Yeah. Well, I mean, I know that they come through towns and do presentations and things at local grocery stores and kids see it and that sort of. I know I had a Wiener whistle as a kid. But I don't know that I ever got to see the Wienermobile, so I was very excited about this. So I went out to Harps over on Crossover in Fayetteville, and I met lots of Ketchup Lisa and Hot Diggity Holly.
They love their puns.
They
don't
do. They? Yes. They love the puns. They are 2 of 12 hot doggers, as they're called, and they are in charge of driving the Wienermobile across the country. There are more than 1,200 applicants each year who go through an intense interview process so they can find people who cut the mustard. They get a 1-year contract from June to June, and it's for students that are just right out of college. They get about a month's worth of vacation, so around Thanksgiving and things like that. There are 6 vehicles in the fleet. So there are 2 people per Wienermobile, and there are 6 regions in the U.S. So for the first 6 months, they have 1 region and 1 partner, and then they switch, and they go to a different region with a different partner. Holly, who I spoke to, said this was a great opportunity for her to use her PR skills and a great opportunity to travel. She said she's been to about 23 states because of this, and she's driven through more than that. So while I was there, she told me a little bit more about herself and gave me a tour of the Wienermobile.
Do you like a wiener whistle, sir?
I would. Yeah. I wish I had my granddaughter.
I know. Is this not
adorable? We have the door open if you want to peek inside, too.
What's y'all have fun.
Thank you.
I am, my hot dogger name is Hot Diggity Holly. My actual name is Holly Nelson. And as I said before, I'm an Oscar Mayer hot dogger. And the full length title is Oscar Mayer Wienermobile Brand Ambassador. You know, every week varies, which is what's awesome is being a hot dogger is so dynamic. Every week we have different events. Sometimes we're going to festivals, sometimes golf tournaments. We just had a team earlier this year that was down on the field at the Atlanta Falcons game. So it always changes. Normally, though, we also, at events, we set up a table. People come. We have wiener whistles. We have fun activities with families. They can see inside the Wienermobile. And of course, we also do the behind the scenes kind of stuff too. So we do the media pitching, press releases, negotiations, and the maintenance of the vehicle. So last week we had to wash the Wienermobile, Lisa and I. So it's no easy feat, let me tell you. I did work at a public radio station. My senior year of college, I was a marketing coordinator up in Duluth, Minnesota. I'm originally from La Crosse, Wisconsin, but I went to school at the University of Minnesota, Duluth. So that they were right on campus, and it was a really awesome experience that actually helped me get this position. I would love to do marketing and event coordination for some type of organization. I don't know what yet, but we're working on that. Probably work for an agency next year. I really want to move to Chicago, but we'll see. All right. Step over that one. All right, so in the Wienermobile here, let me just shut this up. We have in the very front, as you can see, what we refer to as the bun box. So we just store various things in here, CDs, anything else like that. Up here you can see the bun roof, aka the sunroof. We usually have someone sit on top if we're doing like a parade or if we need to, you know, air it out. And of course, safety first. So we have our meat belts. And you can see our really cute seats here. They have the little embroidered Wienermobiles all over. We don't want you to forget that you are in the Wienermobile. If you look on the floor here, we have our ketchup floor with our mustard stain. Looks like somebody spilled a little. Of course, in the ceiling, we also have Always Sunny Skies in the Wienermobile. And then in the very far back, a lot of people wonder what it is, if it's a bathroom or where we sleep. It's no Winnebago. We don't sleep in here. We stay in hotels. That's just our closet. So we store our luggage and other promotional materials in there. The Wienermobile is 27 feet long, aka 60 hot dogs long. It is 8 feet wide and 11 feet high. The Wienermobile itself has been around since 1936. But this is the 2012 model you're in, so there's been multiple versions, and this is actually just the most recent one, so that's pretty exciting. We're driving Big Bun. They all have different names. So Big Bun mostly resides in the southeast. Right now we're sort of in the Mid-South team's territory here in the Bentonville area. But yeah, we mostly reside down near Florida and Georgia. Just to spread miles of smiles, we like to say, you know, everybody loves seeing the Wienermobile. You know, I mean, I always like to say I'm never going to have a job where people are more excited to see me. You know, because everywhere you go, I mean, you're pumping gas, you're at the grocery store, you're going to see a movie, everyone is so happy. And I think that that's what's really neat, is that we're creating memories for people of all ages, really. You know, kids, if it's their first time, or if it's an adult and they haven't seen it since they were a kid. You know, it's really cool to see that magic happen and give them another wiener whistle, or their first wiener whistle. That's a really neat opportunity that I'm so happy I have here with my hot dogger position with Oscar Mayer.
And if you want to catch the Wienermobile, it will be at the Price Cutter in Rogers from 10 a.m. to 1 tomorrow. And then from 2 to 5, they'll be at the Harps in Bentonville. They'll have fun activities for families and handing out iconic Wiener whistles.
What does that sound like? And how fast does the Wienermobile go?
I don't know. I didn't ask.
Because if you're wanting to see it tomorrow and it's ahead of you, you can always catch up.
Ha 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 ha.
Waiting all day for that. I relished that moment.
Oh.
Support for Ozarks at Large comes still, in part, from the University of Arkansas Women's Giving Circle. The University of Arkansas Fort Smith's 32nd season of entertainment presents Choral Glory, an evening of remembrance, tonight at 7:30 at the Fort Smith Convention Center. Tickets and more information available at uafs.edu. You know I like lists.
I know.
First we need to tell, we have to do the legal stuff with the ID.
Oh, this is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Rogers, Fort Smith, Eureka Springs.
Very good. You know, I like to make lists.
I do.
And depending on the day you talk to me, I will tell you that the best song you can hear on a jukebox is He Stopped Loving Her Today.
You would say that.
By George Jones. George Jones passed away earlier today at age 81. If there's any justice in the world, I'll be at Maxine's at some point today listening to that song, hoisting a beer in his honor.
Sounds good.
Ozarks at Large, a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
Join Christina Thomas and me Sunday morning at 9 for Weekend Ozarks at Large.
Have a good weekend.
He said, I'll love you till I die. She told him, you'll forget in time. As the years went slowly by, she still prayed.